So man, you're here this morning. I want you to hear this message. I want you to not miss this morning. Please hear this. We're going to start in this story going. You can turn to two places. Turn to Matthew 1, Luke 1. We're going to start in Luke 1. Go over to Matthew 1. Go back to Luke 1. We're going to be flipping back and forth. And man, I want you to hear this morning in regards to this incredible, amazing, absolutely all true story that took place. And I don't want you to confuse this as Jesus' birthday. We see signs and people make birthday cakes. That's cute. This is not his start, folks. See, we celebrate birthdays because that's usually our start. Okay, everyone here had a start, and that's your birthday. Jesus has been eternal. Jesus has always been. There isn't a time that Jesus did not exist. He has always been. So this isn't like Christmas isn't his birthday where we actually get this ridiculous picture that that was his start. Jesus is eternal and he always been. Let's look at this time that we celebrate Jesus as his first coming. And now we wait for his second coming. So this was his first coming. And God chose to do it in such a miraculous, incredible, wow way that it cannot be ignored. Let's ask God to speak to us. Father, we thank you for a season that we certainly celebrate Jesus. A season, God, in which we celebrate the first coming of our King, who has always been King, King eternal, forever. And we celebrate his first coming. We celebrate the story that we see here, the absolute true story of what took place. Amazing. Amazing. God, we ask that our hearts, Father, would be hungry for this. God, our eyes would see exactly what you need to see, and our ears would be open to hear from you today. God, that we would hear from you. God, that we would see truth. God, that our hearts would long for truth. Father, that you would speak to us by your Holy Spirit this morning. God, that you would pinpoint this word to every individual heart that hears this message. God, those who have come into this place this morning, God, I need to hear from you today. Father, I need an encounter with you today. I need to hear from you today. Folks, I ask that you would ask God this morning. God, speak to my heart. God, I have ears to hear. I got eyes to see what you have for me today. I came today, God, expecting to hear from you. God, I came this morning expecting that you'd speak into my life by your word and by your spirit this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, we're going to talk about this amazing deal. And the title of this message is real simple. The greatest from the simplest. The greatest from the simplest. Please hear this. The greatest came. The King of eternity came. Emmanuel, Jesus, God with us, God put on flesh, his entrance to his very own creation came through the most simple people, from the most simple circumstances, from the most simple place. Then it's amazing how God interweaves the miraculous. See, there's two points of the message. The simple and the miraculous. And we're going to go through this. We're going to do something. We just have we're going to read a lot. And I'm going to go through this story. And I want this truth just to come alive to your heart. That you would see it this morning. That how God uses the simple. And God intertwines the miraculous. It's amazing through Scripture we see how God over and over and over uses no names to accomplish the miraculous. It's incredible. So folks, I'm asking as you go through this morning that you don't shortchange yourself. Well, my address isn't that. My bank account isn't that. And my social status isn't that. I'm just little old me. How can God use me? God showed up in His creation through a teenage girl who had nothing. Christ was born and He was laid in a feeding trough where animals snot and lick and eat and dirt and filth. They came from a place, Jesus grew up in a place called Nazareth. The place that had a bad reputation. A place that people would look at and say, there's nothing good in Nazareth. Look at John 1:46. Do not sell yourself short based on your income, based on your address, based on your social status. Let's see who God uses. God uses those who are right before Him. God uses those who are obedient to Him. He's not looking at your bank account to see. He's not looking at your address to see if you have. He's not looking at your social status because God only uses those who are high above. Baloney. That's not the way God works. He looks for those who are obedient. He looks for those who are right before Him. He looks to those who have such a reverence and stand in awe of Him regardless of their address. Powerful. And Nathan said to him, here you got Philip, he's coming. He says, listen, I found the Messiah. Man, this is the one, man. This is the Messiah. This is the anointed one. This is the King. This is who we've been waiting for. And he says this to Nathanael. And this is what Nathanael says. What? You're telling me that Jesus, that carpenter's son, is from Nazareth? How could it even be possible that you're telling me the awaited King of the Jews, the awaited Messiah, the awaited anointed one, there's no way He comes from Nazareth. Why? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? I love these two words, these three words. Philip said, come and see. Nathanael, you've got to see this. Regardless of what your opinion is of his location and where he grew up and where his family lived and their poor peasant state, you gotta see. Come and see. You gotta come see Jesus. Come on, look at this. I want you to see this. We're gonna go over Joseph and Mary. And you're gonna look at some shepherds, and you're gonna look at the Magi, and you're gonna look at this amazing bright light that they call the star that moved. You're going to look at angels showing up, just doing amazing, leg-shaking, earth-shattering craziness. How God used the miraculous intertwined with the simple to bring in this amazing true story of the Son of God being born, showing up here in His creation. It's incredible. Come on, Luke. Luke chapter 1, please. Verse 26. I want you to know something. Here we look at Mary. And I want you to get the biblical picture of Mary. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short. Not one. Not one is without sin. Please don't get some false information about who Mary was. Please don't get this false picture of Mary as some queen. Mary was between the age of 12 and 16. Mary was a peasant girl. She had no money. And Mary was a sinner, born a sinner, who needed grace, who needed the very one who was in her belly. Don't get this false picture of Mary. Get the biblical picture of who she was. She was a poor peasant girl between 12 and 16 who was engaged to a man who thought she had this life of this carpenter named Joseph. And they, listen, through this story, you see that there was such a relationship between Joseph being betrothed or engaged to Mary. And when the Bible, when you see engaged and betrothed through the story, this is what this means. This was a signed contractual agreement that could not be broken. When you see that they were engaged and betrothed, it was as if they were married. There was a waiting period of 1 year. As the signed contract was already signed, sealed, and delivered, before they actually came to the place to consummate and sleep with one another and live with one another, there's a year period. But the betrothal, the engagement, was a signed agreement. And the only way to break an engagement was through divorce. That's how serious it was. That's how it was looked upon. It's a serious signed contractual agreement between a man and a woman that in a year we will consummate this, and in a year we will live together. But as for this year goes on, we are considered married. On a paper, because it would take a divorce to break that. Powerful when you see this. You will see a love that Joseph has for his wife, for his betrothed. You'll see Joseph walk in obedience. You'll see Mary walk in obedience. You'll see the shepherds walk in amazement. Now look at this. Verse 26, now in the sixth month, an angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city in Galilee called Nazareth. This little no-name place, folks. In this day, there was anywhere between 600 at maximum, 2,000 people in this town. That's it. Maximum of 2,000. They say anywhere between 600 and 1,600. They up it to maximize maybe 2,000. But that's a little rinky-dink, no-name place. An angel shows up named Gabriel. There's only three angels with names. Gabriel, Michael, and Lucifer. And he brings one of the big dogs down to bring the news. Right? This is the deal. When Gabriel showed up to Zacharias, he says, I am the angel that stands in the presence of God. I can see Gabriel standing in the very presence of God. At attention. Next. Where am I going next, sir? What do you have for me next? I am the one who stands in the very presence of God, waiting for his command. Angels means God's messenger. Gabriel was one of the top messengers. We have his name, and God sent one of the top to this teenage girl in a no-name place. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. And then Gabriel said to her, do not be afraid. You could imagine this teenage girl. And the Bible says when angels showed up, they were like lightning. They were bright and they shone like lightning. It was like a scene, man. It was like, boom, bam, like, oh, this teenage girl is knees knocking, shaking in fear, standing in awe. And Gabriel says, listen, don't be afraid. Yeah, easy for you to say. I'm like, what are you talking about, right? Don't be afraid, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of the father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. A king has a kingdom, and his kingdom will have no end. I mean, imagine what is going through her mind. Big Gabriel showing up in all his glory. Messenger from God comes into this teenage girl. This no-name teenage peasant girl in a no-name place and delivers a message. Are you going to give birth to God? And this is her question. It's amazing. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be? For I do not know a man. How can I become pregnant when I'm a virgin? How can this even be possible? Oh, and then he drops some news on her. Look at this. Oh, don't worry. The angel said to her, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child will be called the Son of God. You can imagine. So I'm not going to have any relation with a man, but the Spirit of God is somehow going to impregnate. Man, gang, you try to wrap your mind around that. That's craziness. And then he goes in and tells her about Elizabeth being
being pregnant, and he tells her, listen, Gabriel says, nothing's impossible with God. In verse 38, powerful, 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 walking in obedience. And Mary said, behold, the bond slave of the Lord.
Look at where Mary's position was. As a teenager, she walked as a bond servant, walked in a great reverence, walked in great righteousness, and walked. Listen, this just wasn't bumped on her. She didn't just then become a, she grew up in a system where she understood what it was to serve Yahweh, to serve Jehovah, to serve God, to recognize Old Testament law and follow and walk in obedience, where when the command comes, she so simply says, I am and I have been your bond slave. I have been a servant to you. Therefore, be it done unto me according to your word. This isn't something that she just showed up this day to be the bond slave. She has walked in a way in her teenage years to find favor with God in such a way that this is the one chosen by God from all eternity in a perfect, specific time to bring in the Son of God. And this is her response. Be it done to me according to your word. Man, look at this. Matthew, please. Matthew 1. So here you got Mary's pregnant. I'm going to try to put this thing in a chronological order here. Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ, was as follows. And his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Okay, before they came together, now here they have this year period, and before they consummated the marriage, boop, she's pregnant. Okay, that's a bad day, right? She got to understand something. Deuteronomy tells us if that's the case, if you are engaged to a woman and she becomes pregnant and you did not have a part in that, then she is to be publicly shamed in front of her father's house, and she is to be stoned, shaming her and her father, and everyone who reigns in that house, in front door, to be pelted by stones until she is to die. If you're engaged to a man and you become pregnant. Serious deal, right? And here's Joseph. You gotta remember, these two are no names from a no-name place. They just want to live out their happy lives together in this small little town called Nazareth. One visitation from an angel changed everything that they knew. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man. Joseph, her husband, being a man who feared God. Joseph, her husband, being a man who walked right before the Lord. That's what that means. Now look at the love that he has for Mary, not wanting to disgrace her. Look at this. He secretly planned on putting her away. Meaning he secretly planned on divorcing her. That's what that means. He wasn't going for the public disgrace. He wasn't going for the public display. He saw that his wife became pregnant, knowing he had nothing to do with that. Knowing the law says I can publicly disgrace her and her house. And I'm going to divorce her and make a huge deal of this girl. But he has such a love for Mary. I am not going to dishonor and I'm not going to disgrace her. And privately, I'm going to put her aside. Oh, and then again, but when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. For he, look at this, this is the purpose. For he will save his people from their sin. He will save his people from their sin. Listen, Joseph, this is the real deal. Your girlfriend or your wife-to-be, which you are betrothed to, that which you have made a contractual agreement, she is pure and she is clean. She has not been messing around. She is not to be stoned. She's not to be disgraced. Listen, Joseph, an angel of the Lord shows up in a dream and said, this is the real deal. Joseph, she is one who has been chosen by God. Joseph, you are the one chosen by God to be the male figure, to raise up the one, the very one, the Messiah, who will save
his people from their sin. And look what the angel does, man. He goes right into the Old Testament and starts quoting the Old Testament. Verse 23. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son. Why is he quoting? Because Joseph was a righteous man and knew Old Testament. He knew in waiting for the king to show up, waiting for the Messiah. Could you imagine one who understood what was going to take place? Prophesied 700 years before this moment. 700 years prophesied through Isaiah. Isaiah 7:14. And here, Joseph, you're the one. Joseph, that woman who you have, who is now impregnated, she's the one to fulfill this prophecy. Imagine what is going through his mind. Behold, the virgin shall be with child. Imagine the angel could have just told him. But he quotes truth. And he quotes scripture that Joseph would know. Behold, the virgin will be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which translating mean God with us. You see, he was so firm, you need to name him Jesus. Because Jesus means God saves. God saves. God saves. Joseph, this is the deal. Marry her. Don't put her out. This is a God deal. This is the miraculous. Could you imagine a virgin who's pregnant? Now listen, I'm not talking about some seed planted in a virgin. I'm talking about the no man's seed impregnated a virgin. Impossible. Never to be done ever again. It is the absolute miraculous. Right amongst the most simple. Well, Sean, how do you know they had no money? How do you know that God showed up to those who were so simple? The Bible says when it came time to do a sacrificial offering in the temple for Jesus, the firstborn, they came with two turtle doves and two pigeons. You go into Leviticus and you see that you're supposed to bring a lamb, your best lamb. And if you cannot afford, if you are walking in a poor state, the next thing that would be accepted is turtle doves and pigeons. God showed up through those who had nothing, folks. And look at what Joseph did. Verse 24, and Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife. And did not, and it says, didn't come to sleep with her until Jesus was born. He kept her a virgin until Jesus was born. You know what I see here? There's many who will say, well, people picked on Jesus because he was born without a father, and Mary was ridiculed and picked on and crushed because here she was pregnant and didn't have her husband. You know what I see here? I see immediately when Joseph got the news, he woke and he did. So that he would marry her, bringing her into the house, saving her from shame. That's the way I see it. Because he had such a care for this little girl, such a care for his wife-to-be. He didn't want ridicule. He didn't want them bringing shame and talking negative about her as man, you're out sleeping around, you're the harlot. But he brought her in to cover her and to remove any shame that may have come her way, walking in obedience to what the angel said. Don't be afraid. Take her as your wife. Amazing. Amazing. Come on, back to Luke, please. Luke 2. They got to go from Nazareth to Bethlehem to take up the census. Verse 4, Joseph also went up from Galilee to the city of Nazareth, to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them at the inn. Now, please hear this again. The greatest came through the simplest. Here we see this picture. Sometimes we have this nice, comfortable nativity set. It's all nice and beautiful in a nice wood shack. And it's so like, you know, listen, biblical truth says we don't know exactly where he was born. We know that because of the census, man, Bethlehem was crazy. There were people everywhere. The rooms were slammed. There was no room for covering. And listen, there was a lot of people that were in the same situation who didn't have a place to stay. It's not like they were handpicked. Oh, no, there were so many people who came because of the census. There was not enough room for many people. So they could, you know, there's many who say, well, it was a cave. Some were animals kept because we do know that this feeding trough was an animal's feeding trough. There had to have been animals there. There were big, huge, like courtyards when there was no room, and everybody, they would lay out cots and they would be in this very public place where they would have animals and tons of people. Could you imagine giving birth to the King of Kings and amongst a place where there's people all around who had no place to go? We don't know exactly where it was, but we know it wasn't a place of covering and comfort. We know it was a place where there were stinky, smelly animals. And when Jesus was born, the very best thing they could find was probably a stone deal that animal snot and spit and nasty food. You ever see a dog eat? You want to lay your best in that? That's where the King of Kings was laid. The greatest, folks, amongst the simplest. It's incredible. It's incredible. Verse 8, and in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood. Look at the miraculous, man. Again, another messenger shows up. An angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Look at this. An angel shows up to these shepherds. Who are the shepherds? We don't know. There are no names on top of a hill taking care of sheep. Listen, this is the very first message to anyone who's not Joseph or Mary. The very first message from an angel, angelic encounter. And the Bible says when he showed up, the glory of the Lord, Shekinah glory, that is something that is brilliant and radiant, showed up with this angel. Could you imagine the shepherds at this point, knees knocking, crazy, afraid, like, what is going on? And the angel of the Lord came to these no-name shepherds doing their thing, watching their flock by night, just watching, and you could imagine them just chilling, maybe playing euchre. I don't know what they're doing in their shepherd deal, right? But they're just chilling. Oh, by the way, at the Christmas party, me and my partner kicked their butts in euchre, just letting you know. Maybe they're playing euchre, and one shepherd's going, ha, spades alone. And then the glory of God shows up to a bunch of no-name shepherds watching a bunch of stinky animals. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid. But isn't it amazing when angels show up, that's like the first thing they say? Get your knees back, stand up, get up. Wake up, dude. Don't be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ, who is the Messiah, who is the Anointed One, Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared. Look at this. This is huge. Suddenly there appeared an angel. Don't miss this. A multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. You know what a multitude of heavenly hosts? A host means an army. That's what host means. A multitude of armies. Bang. Folks, that could be thousands of angels. Whoom, just coming out. You could imagine these no-name shepherds going, okay, one. But now there could be thousands of angels in the presence of these shepherds bringing in the great, amazing news, the declaration that Jesus, the Savior, has been born this day. You'll find him in a manger. And then all of a sudden, these thousands, these multitude of heavenly armies showed up, praising God, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased. This is an amazing announcement by the hosts of heaven.
Listen, 1 Kings gives us an amazing picture. Here you have this prophet who's speaking, and he says, listen, I had this vision, and I saw that standing on the right and standing on the left of the throne were all the heavenly hosts giving glory to God. And you could imagine that scene when God says, go. Go to that hill in that no-name place and show up to the Bethlehem and show up to these no-name shepherds and let them know what took place with absolute glory, with absolute power, with absolute authority so that they are not mistaken. It wasn't the pizza they ate that night. It's the glory of God showing up through thousands and thousands of heavenly hosts showing up to give glory and to give praise to God. And the next thing you could imagine the shepherds do, okay, let's go. First thing, boom, beeline to the manger. And they show up. Verse 17 says this. They found Mary and Joseph, found it just the way the angels would say. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told to them about this child. Well, what was that? He's a Savior. He's Christ, the Lord. See, I look at this and I'm thinking, why would God send these no-name shepherds to these no-name couple who just gave birth to the King of all? I could imagine, as the Bible says, that when Mary heard this, she pondered these things in her heart. Isn't it amazing how God brings confirmation so many times? To Mary and Joseph, so you got to understand the real deal of this. Not the normal child. He will never do you wrong. He will never disobey. He will never, ever lie to you. He will never sin. He will be sinless all of the days in your house. He is the sacrificial lamb who will save his people from their sin. He is the Savior of the world. He is God in the flesh. He is Emmanuel. You could imagine the confirmation needed. And here God uses these no-name shepherds to confirm. To re-again speak to Joseph and Mary. He is the Savior. He is Christ, the Lord. Amazing. Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they heard and seen, just as he told them. Amazing. Amazing. They came, they did what God called them to do, and they went back. And we don't hear about them again. Isn't that amazing? Come on, Matthew, please. And then after that, we see this take place. Chapter 2, verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, where is he who had been born king of the Jews? Okay, don't misunderstand this picture of Magi. Please remove that silly picture of three dudes on three camels walking over a hill. Kill that, okay? Don't hang that on your tree. Probably not legit. Because these Magi, these were the smart ones, man. These were the smartest people in the land. You know that song, we three kings. They weren't kings, and there wasn't three of them. I mean, dumb song. They, at times, may have been king finders because they understood. They were the wise men. They understood astronomy. They understood astrology. They understood science. These were the smart ones of the bunch, gang. Coming from the east. And I said, well, there had to have been three because there was gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Do you understand gold, frankincense, and myrrh? Gold was as gold today. Who? Big bucks, right? It's worth a lot. It's worth now, and it was worth a lot then. That's gold. Frankincense was a very expensive incense. It was a fragrance that was only used in the temple to signify deity. So here you've got gold, one of the gifts, to signify his kingship. because it was deity and royalty. And then you've got frankincense, a very expensive incense or very expensive thing that was only done at the altar as a sweet-smelling aroma for the very presence of God. There, this fragrance, deity, God. And then you have myrrh, which is not so expensive, that was used in burials to perfume the body. As we see Joseph did when he took him off the cross, he brought myrrh to perfume Jesus' dead body. Kingship, deity, death. But you got to understand something in this day. There were thieves. There were robbers. Bad men. Pirates. Do you really think? And don't be offended by this. But three nerds who were the smartest one of the bunch. We're going to carry gold, frankincense, and myrrh without an army with them to present these gifts to the king? Gang, there could have been hundreds, if not more, in this caravan that caused Herod to become so jealous and so angry and so filled with hate. And then it's amazing. See, I'm married. You know, you can imagine Mary. They didn't have iPads. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have any phones. Nobody called Mary ahead of time. They're here. The Magi showed up. There's a ton of, they're coming to your house. She didn't have time to clean. She didn't have time to cook. She didn't have time to take care of Jesus. Now get this. He's in the house, possibly up to 2 years old or many, many months afterwards, 6 months to 2 years old. That's what they say. And here you could imagine Mary opening the house door to these possibly hundreds of people who just show up unannounced. I don't know many wives who think that's a great idea. And here they come in. Because we saw this moving light. Miraculous. And they called it a star that moved. And then stopped right over the house. And then this whole caravan of people come in. Now look at this, verse 11. And after coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshiped. You can imagine what Mary and Joseph are thinking, these magi. They knew, man, these are the special ones. These are the wise men. They traveled all the way from the east just to come to this place right here to get on their face. Worship means they laid prone to worship this child of mine. Incredible. And then they gave these great gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You could imagine, again, as a young child, the confirmation that Mary and Joseph had. What child is this? That those who are of the highest respect, folks, we've seen those of the simplest respect, and now we see those of the highest respect showing up. To drop everything and get on their face. We have traveled far for this moment. Just to come worship the King. Just to deliver these gifts that you will need. That's why we've traveled so far. Let's bow our heads, please. Folks, we see all through Scripture that God can use the simplest to do the miraculous. I'm asking this morning, man, don't shortchange yourself. Don't look at your address and say, well, I live here. Don't look at your bank account and say, I got nothing. Because to be honest, if you want to know the truth, God works on percentage, not amount. You had the woman who had two mites, who had nothing. And Jesus said, she'll be talked about forever. Isn't that amazing? You've got the King of Kings who was born in the lowliest of circumstance. But yet all of it was surrounded by the amazing, miraculous hand of God. God's looking for those who are obedient. God's looking for those who are righteous and live a life that honors and glorifies Him to do the miraculous. Please don't look at your age. Please don't think you're a teenager. God will use me someday. Really? Come on. God will use you today as a teenager if you walk in righteousness and obedience to Him. Don't miss that. We're talking about a 12 to 16-year-old girl. Scared, crazy scared out of her mind. An angel shows up. And her response is, I am a bondservant to the Most High. Be it done to me according to your word. A teenage girl walked in obedience. And her life was surrounded by the miraculous. And she had nothing. And she was from nowhere. Don't look at me and you say you're too old. Come on. Father, I'm asking that we just walk into place in this message. God, we not look at our address. We not look at our bank account, our finances, our job. We don't look at our age, but we look at our hearts. God, I will walk in obedience. God, I will walk righteous before you. I will guard my heart and my mind. For God, I know that you have a purpose and a plan for me. I know, God, you created me for a specific reason, God. And when that comes down, I'm ready. I'm ready to walk in obedience. Be it done to me according to your word. We see that every age in the Bible, folks. 100 plus given birth. Are you kidding me? Because they walked in obedience and the miraculous was done. So, man, as we sing this last song, I'm just asking that you would know what God has spoke to you this morning. And give it over to Him with a faith that has increased. So, God, I look to you and not me.